The following message is brought to you by Bridgeway Gospel Center. For more information, visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at bridgewaygc.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, we have to do this. And the reason why we have to do this is not because of any other thing. It needs to be done. Can we celebrate Pastor D and his wife? If not for them, we will not be gathering in a forum called Bridgeway. Let us celebrate them for yielding to the call. You know, let's celebrate them. When he told me I was going to preach, I've not felt like this in a very, very long time. I felt some of the things he feels in his shoes, having to decide what to say. But God will help us. Amen. God will help us. Amen. All right, today, let us go without any further ado. Let's go. Today, I'll be taking my text from the book of Mark, chapter 4. 1 to 12. Mark chapter 4, 1 to 12. Just give me. Mark chapter 4, from verse 1 to 12. All right, so let's go. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine. Verse 3, he said, "Hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of it." Are you with me? Good. "But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 60, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Tell your neighbor, hear. Yeah. Good. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And verse 11 and 12 is where I'm actually going. So if you didn't hear any of the things I read, please listen to this one. "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Somebody say the mystery. The mystery. "But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Verse 12. He said that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. Father, O Lord, we have read your word. We ask, O Lord, that you breathe upon your words. Breathe upon your word, unleash the power that is in your word. Grant me utterance so that I will not speak above myself. I will speak the counsel that is required for thee now in the name of Jesus. So that at the end of this brief exaltation, both from the pulpit to the pew, your hand will have been evident in the name of Jesus. We will have been transformed, becoming what we ought to become at this hour for you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I say, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. All right, I am going to be speaking about the topic I titled, "The Mystery of the Kingdom of God." The mystery of the kingdom of God. It will look very funny when you are trying to explain a mystery and you explain it in a mysterious way. Amen. One of the bad sides that some of our mathematics teachers do is that mathematics is already mysterious in some kind. And when you come to the class, you just write everything in a mysterious way. Something that we do not understand before, especially things, topics like calculus, permutation and combination. Okay, don't let me bore you before you start switching up. So, we want to talk about mystery. We should come down and define and let the mystery be explained in simple terms. Are we together? So, now, what is a mystery? A mystery is a secret counsel of God which is hidden from the ungodly and the wicked man, but plain to the godly. So it's something like, it's a code of conduct that is easy for some people, but difficult for some people. It's like if I write a computer code to register people into this place. If I show you the code as an ordinary person, as somebody that is not an IT person, to you, it will just look like jargons. But if somebody that has the orientation of understanding coding, we say if you put a comma here, it will let the people come, it will arrange the people in certain ways. It will see the outcome and say the reason why it is not showing you this field at the outcome is because of this full stop that you put there. Are you with me? So to the ordinary person, that was mysterious. But to you that understands coding, it is not mysterious. So the mystery of God is difficult to those who are outside. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Outside means those of us that those people that have not decided to recognize and acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. So to them is a mystery. But as you journey in God, the mystery unveils. That means that as you journey in God, what you understood before now, in 2 or 3 years' time, or in 2 or 3 months' time, there is a difference. There is a demarcation. When we do, I'm looking for this word now. When we develop curriculum, at the beginning of every time you develop a curriculum, let's say mathematics, for example, recognition of number is very, very important. So the way you will teach recognition of number to a grade 1 student is far different from the way you will teach recognition of number to a grade 5 student, where the grade 1 student can count 1 to 10 and you are satisfied as the person that is tutoring the person. It's an abnormality for a grade 1 student not to count beyond 10. Amen? So that's how it is. We grow in the mystery of God. That is why we need to understand what we mean by the mystery. The kingdom is a set of rules. It's a region that is governed by a set of rules. So we are talking about the set of rules that governs the operation of God in his kingdom, in essence. Are we together? This verse that we read starts with the parable of the sower. I am not going to dwell so much on the parable of the sower, but I want to just pick one or two nuggets from the parable of the sower. One of the things that we should remember before I start running. God is the sower. Everybody knows that. The seed is the word of God. Everybody knows that. The seeds were sown irrespective of the condition or the nature of the places where they were sown. That may not be very, very visible to us. Most of the time, we think that God is partial. Amen. That God has blessed some people with serious retentive memory. God has blessed some people with ability to dance. God has blessed some people with ability to sing. Whereas some people like us, we cannot sing. So we now think that God is partial. No. God has distributed his seed, his power. Anything that anybody can tap into God or get through, anything that an individual can say he got from God is also available for you. That's where I'm going. God doesn't respect you because you wear glasses and you have better understanding. No, sometimes the glasses might be deceiving you. That is just on your face. It's not entering your mind. So, God gave the seeds to man because he was generous, not because he's wasteful. So this is the caveat now. Do not take that character of God for granted. That he gives rain to both the evildoer and the good person. He gives them the same amount of rain. If there was a chemical test on the rain that drops, if Pastor D's field was here, and in quotes, a sinner's field was demarcated by a line, when rain falls in that region, the same type of rain will fall. So the sinner should not take that character of God for granted, that God has cuckoo given me rain. That sinner should understand that he's enjoying the benevolence and the generosity of God that is not going to last forever. Can we hear an amen? Amen. All right. So my main subject of discourse today is found in verse 11 and 12. Can we go there? Verse 11 and 12. He said, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are parables, that seeing they may see, but not perceive. That caught my attention. It caught my heart with a dagger. How can somebody have eyes? And you do not say they are blind, but they see. But he said they will not perceive. And hearing, they may not hear and not understand. If it ended there, I would have loved it. I would have said, well, there would have been remedy. He said, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. This is so much an important matter that it was mentioned first in the book of Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. Matthew 13 was also mentioned in Matthew 13, 12 to 15. Also mentioned in the book of Luke 8 and 10. This verse 12 was mentioned in three other places in the Bible, just exactly like this, just paraphrasing or changing one or two things. In the book of Isaiah, he ends by saying, instead of their sins should be forgiven, that they may be healed. That means the book of Isaiah just opposes forgiveness of sins with healing. We will get there later. It's so important that the Gospels, all the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, except John, talks about this concept of the mystery. That means this is a strong concept. One of the reasons why I think it wasn't mentioned by John. John did not focus on the stories of Jesus per se. John, if you read the book of John, there are no parables in John. John didn't talk about anything parable. John went straight and spoke about the personality of Jesus. When John was writing, John wrote from the point of having gone to heaven and still being on earth. That was when he wrote. If you understand what I'm trying to say. When Matthew wrote almost immediately after the death of Jesus. So the things was burning in their heart. Matthew was conscious that Jesus Christ was going to come. And in his own writing, he thought he was going to come like tomorrow. Just now. That was all the things that Matthew wrote. But Luke and John were were apostles of Paul. Mark wrote in a very simple language that everybody can understand. But Luke, being a doctor, you know, wrote some complex things. Are we together? So, John wrote about the personality of Jesus, wrote about the kingship of Jesus, wrote about Jesus in the supernatural form more than every other person. Are we together? So all the other gospels wrote about Jesus and wrote the daily account. In Matthew, Matthew was writing as if he was there. He was writing as if the account was being recorded as it happened. So are we together? So the importance of this verse 12 cannot be overemphasized. Are we there? The writer connects in the book of Mark, the writer connects seeing, hearing, and understanding to forgiveness. Are we together? Because, give me one time. Seeing and hearing to forgiveness, because you cannot walk with God except you have his nature. Most of us that are here in Bridgeway have the same nature. One of the nature that is common is that we love God. In Bridgeway, we are not coerced to do anything. In Bridgeway, we do things because we use, forgive me for the use of this word, we use our gumption. Are we together? We don't come here and we have to do a roster. This has to be done, this has to be done. Everybody falls into line. Are we together? When somebody is celebrating, all of us go and celebrate with the person. There is no serious announcement, no protocol. Everything just has to fall in order. So you cannot walk with God and not be like God. He said he is light. The book of James 1:17 describes him as a kind of light that wherever he turns, there is no shadows. You understand? Doesn't describe him as light. It describes him as the father of light. Now, trying to now show you what the character of the son, that is light, is. God is not light. God is the father of light. So describes him as the light that you see. But the light you see, when the light turns, if I block this reflection now, are we together? If I block it, you will see my shadow. But when God is here, no matter where he turns, he's describing him as, although you see light, but you will not see any shadow. Describing God in that nature. So that's the kind of person that you want to come to terms with. You cannot come to him in sin or with sin. Why does he now say you're going to be healed? You're going to be healed because you will look like him. Originally, there was no sickness. Originally, there was no pain. Originally, you were designed to, in quotes, in case of anything, self-repair. You are not designed to break down. You are designed to function here on earth and live as long can be. Pastor D will help me with that one. That means that if long was supposed to be 1,000 years, you're supposed to live as long can be. You're supposed to be able to live as that 1,000 years. We are not supposed to denature. Are we together? So that was what the scripture was saying. That when we hear and hear well, and we understand, we will come to that realm where we will be forgiven or we will be made whole. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So in this kingdom, what happens when there is sin? Sin brings a barrier. I'd explain that. Sin is so bad that when you judge people without having purged yourself, it's considered a beam. Do you understand? He said there is a beam. So I try to, you know, read the Bible in pictures. How would he say a beam is in your eyes? You know what a beam is? Beam is something like they used to support this house now. You understand? Let's say only this room. And I'll put that one in your eyes. So sin is that obstructive. So that's why it needs to get out of the way. Have it together. It needs to get out of the way. So sin hinders our progress. Give me Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Jesus. Sorry. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. He said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. What does blessed mean? Empowered to prosper. If I was to explain that to my 13-year-old daughter, I would say empowered to do what you ought to do. That's prosperity. So when sin is removed from the way, you are empowered to do what you need to do. That was why it is important that that scripture ended like that. So for the torment the person that gave the testimony and Abigail. I call her one funny name. I don't want to call her like that. Reho. And Reho, we're almost entering my message. Are we together? When does the devil have a legal reason to hold you down? It's when he finds something inside you. So the scripture is saying that we should get to a level, I'm coming, of understanding the mystery of God, where the devil cannot hold us down. Where he will try, he himself will say, this guy is a no-go area. Are we together? So in this kingdom, how do we hear? How do we see? How do we understand? Generally, there is a what to hear, right? There is, when you are being talked to, they say, what did you hear, right? That means there is a statement that was said that you hear. There is a statement that is said that you hear. There is a connection of words. There is a combination of words that is being spoken, that when they say it to you, the words may have individual meaning, or the words together have a collective meaning, then you say you have heard the person. Are we together? For example, now, when we hear Mavi, we know that I am calling somebody. Amen? Yeah. If you don't understand that one, you are not... Yeah. So you know what I'm trying to say. When we hear, I am hungry, there is something that connotes to you, especially if you are able to provide. If you want to stand sarcastic, you say, please to meet you. Mm-hmm. So you got the joke. So in this kingdom, it is not what we hear, it is how we hear. Now, this is the beginning of the message. If you have not heard me since, this is the beginning. It is how we hear. There is a context to the reason why something is said. Forget about how it is said. There is a context to the reason why something is said. Help me with the book of John, verse 2. John chapter 2, 1 to 5. John chapter 2, 1 to 5. Sorry, I prefer to read from here. I can see it better. My glasses deceiving me. John chapter 2, 1 to 5. So let's go. John chapter 2. He said, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That means everybody was going, right? At that time, Jesus' ministry had begun. So everybody that was associated with Jesus was there. And when they wanted wine, that means wine has finished, you know. It is where, when it has been a long time that food has been an issue when you go for patio. It's been a long time. I thought it started happening in our generation. A long time. So wine has finished. So we can say the thing that we're using to do merriment had finished. He said, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, saying unto who now? Jesus. They have no wine, no. Like if it was a bigger gathering, you know, if I had gone and I accompanied my mom to a celebration, a gathering, and my mom knows I have capacity to do something. Maybe an uncle of ours was doing the wedding of the daughter, in quotes, you get, and have capacity to do something. And I followed my mom, and by the time I get there, my mom will tell me, oh boy, shake body, oh, they will disgrace us for here. Are we together? Are you getting it? Yeah. So, shake body, oh, they will disgrace us here. So now, that was what they were telling Jesus. And they have no wine. Verse 4 says, Jesus said unto them, woman. Jesus said unto her, rather, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. This English is serious. His mother said unto the servant, whatever he said unto you, do it, right? He said, let me read that one very well again. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. He does not arrange. Does he arrange? I go to, grandma is here now. Maybe grandma knows me very well with Pastor D's wife. And we go for a function. Grandma is rejoicing. Thank God, somebody is coming to bail us out of this mess. Your friend, Pastor D, is the organizer of this party. There's no food on that junction of the table. And I tell grandma, my hour has not come. And grandma turns to those who are serving. This guy, whatever I ask you to do, do. Are we there? Whatever I ask you guys to do, just do it. Now, thank you. Whatever I ask you guys to do, just do. Does the answer match what Jesus said? Does it match it? Does it match it? I'm coming somewhere. But what did Mary hear? Mary did not hear what was said. Mary heard how it was said. How it was said was that in this kingdom, we don't just come and show power anyhow. We ask God for permission. And if God gives us permission, something will happen today. Mary, knowing that God will give permission, now responded that whatever he asked you people to do, do. And there was nothing Mary would have just adjusted her gilly. It was today's function. And go and say, how many people are on that? Oh, yeah, you start counting. How many people are we supposed to give food? How many people are supposed to give wine? The rest is history. So that is how we hear in this kingdom. We hear, we understand to hear, or we understand to speak. Let me come back again. We respond from a perspective of understanding the intention of the communication. Oh, someone said I'm speaking English. Good. I'm trying, right? So you pick it when you do your response. It is from the understanding of a perspective. Let me also shock you. A man wanted his child for a very long time. Out of desperation, decides to help God. Gives birth to a child. If you have the storyline in mind, you are a very good Bible student. Good. So decides to help God. And in helping God, in quotes, let this one be the son. At least, Nami Bonham, right? Nami Bonham. Anybody where they're born from my house. Nami Bonham. That's one. But God says no. God, in his infinite mercy, blesses him with a son. And God says, oh boy, that son that I blessed you with, go slaughter him. Right? Go slaughter him. For the sake of time, we will not read it. So the man decides the things that will be used for sacrifice. Carries everything that is required. And the child asks the father, we have been doing this kind of thing for a long time, Ken. This is not the first time I will follow you. And let me backtrack to say this. Show your children the way you walk with God. Show them how God relates with you. I kept this my red jotter. Was given to me by my first daughter. So deliberately, when I want to preach, I write my final messages inside. Their mom had not been at home, so they have been doing PA, guiding everything. Daddy, you are preaching. Let me help you get that your daughter. It's called a long story short. So she read some of my former messages. My daughter said, wow, Daddy, you are very intelligent. I liked it. Because she read how I was able to pull the things I pulled from the scripture. So when it's her turn, and I force her into that mode, she will not say it does not exist. How together? She will not say it does not exist. Because she has read my finished works, in quotes. She has seen it. See how daddy pulled this thing from here. So, back to the story. The man was working and was going on a journey. And everything was set. That wasn't the first time they were doing that kind of thing. It was not the first time. So the man asked, Baba, You say repetition is the law of long and lasting impression. You say when we want to go and sacrifice to God, we should carry something. We should not go unto God empty-handed. We see everything that you have said. But the substance, Baba, not day here now. Wait till we go offer to this God that you have been telling me we should not go empty. What is the answer? He said, God, what is that response from? He responded from the understanding of what God was saying. He did not respond from what God said. So in this kingdom, we do not respond from the commandment. We do not respond to God from Him telling you, give. No, we respond from His intention for us to do what He asked us to do. There is a reason why you must stand or position yourself. Put yourself in a perspective to understand. Habakkuk explains that unto us. Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2 that he will stand on his watch to see what he will say. It's not a normal something. You don't see what somebody is saying. You hear what that person is saying. But if you see what that person is saying, that means that when that person was talking, you're on the same frequency. If my wife blinks now, and I look at her face, I understand what she's saying. That day when Choma was preaching, I was sitting here. I was communicating to her. And she did like this to me, telling me, Daddy, I have it. I know that you helped me with this Riaza. That just calm down. So when we were talking, anybody that sees us would not see what we were saying. But because we're on the same frequency, she could see what I was saying, and I could see what she was saying. God expects us to come higher. To the level where we see what he's saying, and not only hear what he's saying. In this kingdom, the mystery is to see what he's saying, and not necessarily only hear what he's saying. If you only dwell in the place where you only hear, you will only see the noise. You will only see activity, but you will not see God. I wish in our relationship with fellow believers, we will speak from the perspective of understanding what we want to say first before we open our mouth bagadashiously. Let that one sink in. Please, if you understand the meaning of bagada, tell your neighbor, this is what Pastor Chuks is trying to say. Nobody is understanding me. That means you open your mouth as if there is no radius. You open it as if you are a bulldozer. You say the thing without having understanding. Thank you. Oh, I will have let you preach this message. We say the thing without restraint. It's important that we speak from understanding. It's also important that we hear from understanding. So in this kingdom, that is how we operate. That was why they were calling it a mystery. Why is it a mystery? It's not normal. It's not normal. Amen? Jesus, my time is up. So that is the projection. So as kingdom-minded people, how do we grow in this mystery of God? Number one. We should desire to have inward perception. The scripture that we read tells us that it is given to you. Given means that it is available. It is up for picks, right? It's up for grabs. It has to do with your option. It comes with the option. It comes with the package. You can decide to take it or not. A funny story was often always said about somebody that traveled on or in air, and he packed his own gari, everything, all his own snack in eight hour trip. And he said he was not going to take anything. He was taking his snacks. The one that he packed in his hand luggage, when everybody landed, they saw him. He was not very satisfied because of what he took eventually. And they asked him, why are you looking like this? He said, all I had was peanuts and water that I brought. Jesus. Somebody said, with all the menu, you understand. So he was given. He was part of the package. But he did not assess it because he didn't desire it. He thought it was too far. This mystery is not too far. The scripture says it has been given. We should desire it and assess it. Number two, where I'm going, number two. The Bible is not a book of stories. La, 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 la. This Bible that we are reading is not a book of mere stories. Now, if you read other versions, it was saying that Jesus Christ told them parables, juxtaposing parables and stories, using stories and parables. I beg to disagree. The Bible is not a book of mere stories. These events happen. People who have traveled to the places, geographical regions, where some things that happened could be seen physically, have attested to the fact that they occurred. People who have traveled in the Red Sea have attested to the fact that at a particular point in time, the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and the Egyptians crashing must have occurred because of the relics they found inside the sea. So the Bible is not a book of mere stories. Read John chapter 6. I want to pull something from there. John chapter 6, verse 16. He said, and when even was come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and drew near unto the ship, and they were afraid. If now you not go fear. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. So show them, Namio, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land where they went. See, this translation is a serious one. Let me read something that is easier. So let me read, easy to read version for you. Where did I even read from? 16. Let me read, easy to read for you. He said, and when it was evening, the disciples went down to the lake. This one is saying lake. It was not a lake. Oh. They got into a boat and they started to travel towards Capernaum. It was dark then, and Jesus still had not come to them. And a very strong wind was blowing, and so that the water was moving powerfully on the lake. Water does not move powerfully, so it was not a lake. The disciples were trying to pull the boat through the water with oars, describing a special long flat piece of wood, when they had gone about 3 to 5 miles. And they said 3 to 5 miles, 5 to 6 kilometers. They saw Jesus. He was coming near the boat and he was walking on water, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, do not be afraid. So the disciples were happy to let Jesus into the boat with them. Immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. The boat came to the place where they wanted to be. The first narrative I read said they were leaving for Capernaum. So they had moved 3 to 5 kilometers to avoid the storm, but trying to get to Capernaum, they saw Jesus, right? Please follow me. They saw Jesus. As they saw Jesus walking on the water that was troubled, it was not still. This is not the only time recorded that Jesus walked on water. I study science more. So my scientific mind can explain that you can walk on water. Let me prove to you. It might be very cold. I may be icy. So there are icebergs connected to one another. So you were walking on water. Amen? Yeah. You were walking on water. So that was one way. Walking on water. You were walking on water. Another way is that there's something called surface tension. If you're a scientist. So surface tension means that the surface of the water is acting like a skin. So if you walk on it and you don't exert so much pressure, you will not sink. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So those were the scientific analysis. Are we together? But this one beats my scientific mind. Look at what happened. The water was troubling. It is Jesus. Jesus walks to them, and their destination was that gate. As Jesus entered, they got, oh no. No, 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 no. Did you feel that one? Did you feel it? How do you explain that one? How do you explain that one? I picked this particular one to let you know that when you read some things, you are not far from that experience. When you read and dwell on it, how do I become a medical doctor? I read the experience of somebody who has studied medicine, who talked about, I don't have that time anymore. So I read the experience. So I praise all the doctors. I like to play. That's why I teach maths. It's easier for me. Don't give me anything. So I like to play a lot. So doctors must be cool and calm. You don't see Dr. Yusuf. He's wearing, every time he'll be wearing suits. I'm not that kind of person. Amen. You are distracting me with this, your laugh. So, I'm not that kind of person, like I was saying. I'm not that kind of person. So this one, I can't explain it. I've heard generals of God say that they read in their Bible and they stayed upon that scripture and what they were reading happened to them. They stayed on what they were reading. Let me give you one example before I run away. In December, I traveled, so I went to one of my proteges in court. So he was going through a hard time. I encouraged him. I told him how God had helped me in Asaba. I went on and on. He said he had an infection. He had boil somewhere. The boil was not going. We spoke about it. We prayed, and we left. In January, he called me that, the boil has intensified, though. That the thing is still bringing out pus. That as it is now, that they believe that it's cancerous. That he was perplexed. He was down. Inside me, I picked this scripture that say healing are children's bread. And I told him, I had mused on that scripture. And I reminded him that he was a child of God. And as children, the most important thing that you give to a child when they are still children is food. You will have heard Pastor D say that when he was young, it applies to everybody. One of the things that we went to do in school is to eat. When you are taking some of these children of nowadays to school, their lunch pack is heavier than their... Oh, no. So you cannot separate a child from food. The same way. You cannot separate the child of God from his healing. Oh, yeah. If you are a child of God, healing belongs to you. The devil does not have a place to torment you. So, how did I get to that level? I had mused on that scripture. I told him that healing is children's bread. I told him. We spoke for over 17 minutes. I told him everything I could tell him. And today, to the glory of God, he is well. He's had his child, and things are working. How did I get to that level? I read that thing in the Bible, and I told myself, this thing is not an ordinary thing. It wasn't just written there. So the Bible is not just a book of stories.
your own story, your own path to becoming what you need to become needs to be discovered by you. No matter what Pastor D preaches, no matter what any, you need to sit down and obtain your own rhema. You need to sit down and imagine. Let if you are a very, very educated person, there are some things you should read that should beat your education. They say somebody didn't go to school and he sat down and he was talking and professors were taking notes. Do you think something is amiss? He didn't go to school and he was speaking and he was just 12 that time. And professors, people who understood what, people who wrote curriculum were taking notes. We missed it in IMC 101. What is saying? Supposed to have been there. What's saying now? Supposed to have been. Oh, let's go. And my last point says, take chance. Take your chance. The first thing I said, if you did not hear anything, one, you should desire to have the inward perception. Two, what was my second reason? That the Bible is not the third thing. And I close from here. The third thing is that you should take your chance. Mark 40. Mark verse 4 and 10 says he was alone. I like to always show you the thing from the Bible. So you don't think I'm the one that is saying it. Because sometimes my mouth can be sweet. Mark 4:10 says, when Jesus was alone, his friends. No, I don't want this version. He said that when Jesus was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Question, was Jesus really alone? No, don't jump. Don't bear. He said, and when he was alone, they that were about him. Oh, maybe it's a translation. That means they that we were with him, with the 12, ask him the parable. This way he has finished the parable of the sower, right? And he starts with him being alone, right? And now said some people were with him. So my question, was he alone? Are you afraid? I won't beat you now. I won't subtract from your CGPA now. Was he alone?
No,
he was not alone. So what am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? Take your chances. There will never be a perfect moment. Take your chances. When God nudges you about an event, about something, don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you are married. Don't wait until you have the money. Don't wait until the space comes. Don't wait until you have a Bible. Pick your phone, go online, download anything, and read it. Don't take chances. Take your chance. But don't take chance. Don't think that tomorrow will be better than today. Dollar, don't let me say any other thing. Things are as good as they are now. Yes. Things are as good as they are now. God is counting on us. So that we can be other gods here on earth. God is counting on us. So that through us, through the way we relate, through the way we behave, people will like him. Don't you understand that we are the reason why this earth is still functioning the way it is functioned? If it is better, it is we are the one. If it becomes worse, we are the one. So don't take chances. I don't know which part of this message has been a blessing unto you. I don't know what you intend to recollect. But I like us to bow down our heads in prayer. Ask God. Give me the ability to perceive. Let me hear from your intention. Let me speak from your mind. Let me do it like you want it done. Let me do it from your plan. In the name of Jesus. All of us are a work in progress. You know yourself. Say, God,
Help me to get free from the grip of sin. From the grip of sin. From the grip of error. From the grip of not doing the thing that I need to do when I need to do it, how I need to do it. You should not hear this kind of message and be quiet. Examine yourself. When I was writing it, I had to write it like 3 times. And each time I wrote it, I examined myself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful. Because every word that comes from your mouth comes out with an intention. Father, oh Lord, I know one of the intentions that you have brought this message across our way is to free us from the grip of the evil one. So under the sound of my voice, I pray, is there anybody that the evil one finds anything inside? Father, Lord, I ask, in your mercy, let there be freedom in the name of Jesus. Let there be freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. And we ask, whatever the effects of that grip be it sickness, be it poverty, whatever the effect has been, Father, Lord, we ask for a reversal. In the name of Jesus, we ask that gradually let things begin to return to normal. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let there be prosperity yet once again in the name of Jesus. And for the Lord, for everyone whose sin has been written down somewhere, who people feel they owe them, who people feel they have to hold on to them. Father, Lord, you are the only one who knows our hearts. You are the only one who can mend our pain. Father, Lord, we ask, oh Lord, in your mercy, let such occurrences be blotted out in the name of Jesus. We pray that your people will have a clean slate. Work in healing. Work in the mystery of this your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Bridgeway Gospel Center, 33 Anwai Road, Asaba, Sundays 9 a.m. and Fridays 5:30 p.m. You can visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Bridgeway GC. God bless you.